Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now, we all know that death is inevitable, but what we often don't think about is just how costly it can be to die in South Africa without a will. Here in this country, more than 70% of people pass away intestate, leaving their families not only to mourn, but also facing enormous emotional, legal and financial stress, from frozen bank accounts to executive fees, trust charges, property transfer costs and estate taxes. That bill can spiral fast, particularly if there is no liquidity in the estate. And without a clear legal will, family disputes are sadly common. Children can be uprooted and homes may even be lost. Well, I want to discuss now the cost of saying goodbye, so to speak. And I'm in conversation with David Thompson, Senior Legal Advisor at Sanlam Trust. David, a very warm welcome. And maybe let's start with the big one. What actually happens when someone dies without a valid will in this country?
Thank you, Jeremy. Good to be here. So if someone passes away, the onus is on the next of kin, a close family member, to notify the master of the High Court. That forms part of the Department of Justice. And for the next of kin, possibly the spouse, if there is one, life partner or other, to apply to be appointed as executor of the estate or administrator of the estate. And then the master will then consider that person's credentials and either appoint them or might insist that they engage the assistance of a fiduciary practitioner or an attorney, for example.
And David, what is particularly concerning is, according to master's office records, more than 70% of people pass away intestate. Why do you think that number is so high?
It is incredible, and strangely enough, it seems to be an international phenomenon, although it is particularly bad in our country. That figure that we got from the Master's Office a few years ago, it was as high as 80%, so it might have improved slightly, although there's also the situation that many deaths are not reported to the master for various reasons. Some research we commissioned a few years ago, people came back to us and said, well, I don't own anything, I'm not wealthy enough, oh, it's going to be too expensive to have a will, I haven't thought about it, it's not in my nature to think about death, I'll worry about it when I'm older, I'm too young. So a lot of those factors came to the fore during the research.
And there is a real financial cost, as you'll tell me, that families face if there is no proper estate planning in place.
No, absolutely, Jeremy. I did an analysis recently based loosely on a real case we had in KZN a couple of years ago. You know, so what I did was, for some clients, I gave them a projection as to what would happen if they had a will potentially, and what might happen if they didn't have a will and one of them passed away. And we worked out that it would cost them an additional R500,000 for various reasons. So in general, it would be far better to have a will. Of course, even if you have a will, there are still all those expenses that you mentioned earlier that have to be dealt with. So, for example, inevitably, you might have to pay income tax, capital gains tax. If you're a wealthy person, you might have to pay estate duty. Certainly, there'll be property transfer fees. But there is a way to cover those expenses, to take out some type of cover, indemnity cover, to say, okay, I've worked out my estate planner says it's going to cost me X amount of money. What can I do to make sure there is that money available so that my wife or partner doesn't have to scrabble around to get to borrow money, you know, to have to pay for these expenses?
And you mentioned that liquidity is a big problem. Mm. What does it mean when there is no liquidity in the estate? What are the consequences?
Yeah, the consequences are, we do find that sometimes people are asset rich and income poor. So, for example, they might have a property, they pass away, there's rates outstanding, there might be capital gains tax to pay, there's some conveyancing fees that you've got to pay the lawyer to transfer the property, but the person doesn't have sufficient money in their account to actually pay for those expenses. So then you've got to go to the heirs and say to them, well, you know, if you want to inherit, if we're going to transfer this property to you, or this business to you, you're going to have to cough up. And that is obviously a very difficult conversation to have. So it is always much better if the person that passed away had a savings account, a bank savings account, possibly a money market account, or some life insurance to pay into the estate. So there's sufficient money to cover all those expenses and to also help tide the family over with their expenses, you know, until the estate is wound up. So, you know, what Sanlam Legacy has done in recent years is put together a product where the person, when they do their will, they can take out a product to cover those expenses and have that sort of peace of mind. So liquidity is essentially having cash. It's not easy to turn things like property or shares into cash, but money market accounts and you know, even unit trusts can also help a lot with that sort of provision.
And David Thompson, the other issue here is that it can take an inordinately long time to wind up an estate without a will. And apart from the financial consequences, there's also an emotional toll here.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's a terrible emotional toll. I remember a few months ago, a friend of mine passed away unexpectedly, and his wife phoned me to say, I don't know where the will is. And this poor woman spent the next 3, 4, 5 weeks contacting various banks and former attorneys that they'd use, and eventually they did find the will. But I was petrified that, you know, that my friend wouldn't have a will, and I felt guilty myself that, you know, I should have spoken to him about it. So firstly, you lose your partner or breadwinner, mom, dad, or whatever. So you're dealing with all that tragedy. You've got to organize a funeral. You know how it is. And now you've got to worry about, well, goodness, what am I going to do about the pension that he had, the medical aid? Who's going to deal with all that? And now you don't have an executor appointed to deal with those things, a professional person. So the onus comes back to you. And you very often will find in a family that everything always ends up on one particular person. You know, the siblings, some of them might live abroad. They're looking to you to do everything. It's very, very stressful. And so, you know, not having a will just makes things a lot worse, in my opinion.
Worth talking about, I think, the importance of an executor. Are you able to break down fees and estate duty for me and maybe what that looks like in rands and cents for a typical estate, if you can do that, if you can generalize?
Yeah, for a typical estate, you know, your executor is entitled to a tariff fee of 3.5% plus VAT of the gross assets. Sanlam Legacy, we discount those automatically by 25%. So whether you're going to an attorney or a bank or any other professional person, that is particularly the fee that they will charge. So, for example, if the assets are, say, R1 million, then you're looking at R35,000 executor's fee. That fee can be negotiated with the executor, obviously, before you pass away, maybe with a bit of luck after you've passed away by your family, but generally that is a tariff fee. Then you've got other smaller fees, like there's a master's fee that we have to pay to the master of the High Court based on the value of the estate. That can go from R600 up to R7,000, and it's quite quickly you hit that R7,000. Then we have to advertise for creditors and debtors. That'll cost you just a shade over R1,000. Then, of course, you've got your funeral costs, which could be, you know, 10 to 20 or even more. But, you know, generally people might have some type of policy or product in place for that. Then estate duty, well, that kicks in if you've got an estate of over R3.5 million. So if you have a net estate of over R3.5 million, you have to pay 20% estate duty to the SARS. And if you have an estate of over R30 million, then your estate duty creeps up to 25%. Now, for the vast majority of South Africans, estate duty is not a big factor. Essentially, before a couple, you're looking at 7 million net assets before you start paying estate duty. But you need to be careful, you know, so it can quickly add up. You know, you might have a property, a couple of cars, which maybe you've paid off. You may have some shares, a business even, you know, which has now done very well recently and at the time of your demise has a good valuation. So one needs to cater for that as well. And then, of course, there's capital gains tax. So it's on our demise, we're deemed to have sold everything, and the increase in value of that asset since we bought it or since we acquired it, that capital gain is then also taxed by the SARS. And then we've got to pay a capital gains tax, which can also be quite an enormous fee.
As I said at the beginning of this conversation, David Thompson from Sanlam Trust, it can be very expensive to die unless the precautions are taken. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Our business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.